are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock with you again, another Winky Wednesday. Nick Winkler, my guest, will be up with me in just a moment. I do want to remind everybody to subscribe, rate, review the show. We're everywhere. We are everywhere that you can find podcasts. So just go to your favorite podcast place. That's where you will find Locked On 49ers. You will also find all of the shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, all your favorite teams covered there. Tell a friend about the show. If they're not a 49ers fan, let them know that their team's covered here on the network. You can also go to LockedOn49ers.com. You can find the streams of the show there. You can find where to subscribe. And you can also find other articles like the Wide 9 breakdown from Chris Wilson, part 2 going up over there pretty soon. Find the podcast where Chris and I talk about that as well. But today's show, we're going to focus on a little Robbie Gould, who has re-signed with the 49ers. Madden ratings are in, and of course, we still have some lingering mailbag questions that Nick and I are going to get to, so let's bring Nick on to the show.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Nicholas, how are things, sir?
Well, I mean, our kicker's signed for the next couple of years, so that's exciting, right? I'm in a great mood.
Yeah, those tight games, man. You got the kicker. That can make all the difference. Just ask the Chicago Bears, and Bears fans were still holding out hope there would be some sort of a trade there. And I still go back to that, I think it was a report from minicamp where alumni day at Chicago Bears minicamp, and the fans were invited that day. And so there's a bunch of people. They tried to make it as pressure packed as possible for their kickers. They lined up all three kickers that were in camp and had them make some kicks, and one doinked it off the upright, one went wide left, the other went wide right. So the Bears had problems last year. It looks like those problems are going to continue. 49ers will probably not have those kind of kicking issues. Robbie Gould, one of the most accurate kickers in the league.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what they needed to do. And he played it just right. You know, every time he was interviewed, he's like, look, I want to be with my family. They're the most important thing. Like, my agent's dealing with all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. And his agent did him right, too. You know, I'm sure he floated out that I want to, you know, that he wants to get traded rumor and hope that someone could bite. And, you know, if the Niners had gotten, you know, a second or third round pick for him, like, cool, that would have been awesome. But, you know, all that being said, it's great to have him under contract. You know, no more worrying about that. The guy's going to get $10 million, you know, maybe even up to 20 if he hits all, you know, his incentives and, you know, all the options that come along with it. So it's a good deal for everybody. And going forward, it's a good thing as well. And hey, let me give you a shout out too, real quick. I loved that episode yesterday, man, with the trivia. That was a lot
of
fun.
You liked it. Okay, cool. Yeah. It was a fun experiment. I had a big plan to do a whole bracket, and I realized how much work it was going to be to do all of that and get it squeezed in before camp started, because that was the couple of weeks I wanted to try to get everything in. And I was like, you know what? Before I go through all that, let's try one episode out and have sort of a pilot trivia challenge, see how that goes. And it was a lot of work, but it was a good payoff. It was fun. It was really cool. And it's definitely an evergreen episode that people can go back to and listen anytime. So if you're bored and you want to go back to that episode, if you haven't heard it, find that trivia challenge number one. And I had a good time there with Carl. I don't want to spoil who won it, but three contestants, good dudes, Sully, Carl, and Chris, and it was a lot of fun, and I really like the format that I put together there. And so if you have any suggestions on how to make that better for the next time we do it, let me know, and maybe by next off season or whenever there's a slow period, we'll throw a couple more of those in, or maybe we'll actually be able to get the bracket all done, and I'll pull together some resources. And I know I talked to you, Nick, and have a guest host on the trivia challenge, or if you want to be a contestant, I don't know, maybe if you want to take on some of these guys.
Oh man, I was so bad at the years and things like that. I was just like, oh, is that 84 or 88? Like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, especially when I'm thinking of when I was a kid, so those like the 80s and early 90s stuff, and you're like, man, it's an era, but unless there's like a, you know, because the Super Bowl years are a lot easier to remember, but the other years is like, oh man, was that 86 or 87? I have no idea, because that was just when I was figuring things out, you know.
What actually, it brought up a fun, you know, a bunch of fun memories too from the past and things like that, which was really cool. I did yell at my radio at you though, because you didn't answer one question.
I've gotten multiple. Is it the most players drafted.
College.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. A bunch of people were like, man, who was it? Who was number two? Who was number two? That's how I know the episode was a success. The one time I didn't say what the answer was, I had multiple people on Twitter asking me what was up with that. And even actually one of the contestants emailed me after the show. He's like, it's killing me. What was the second most? So the question was, and it was because I thought it was going to be Stanford. And when I thought of that question, I was like, I bet it's Stanford.
That's what I was yelling.
So I looked it up and I was actually surprised that Stanford had the fourth most 49ers drafted. The most recently, and number one, the most was USC by a lot, but a lot of those were in the 50s and 60s. Tons of USC.
I was going to guess like UCLA. Yeah. Cause a local school
and
like California.
Right. And it turns out the number two most popular college for the 49ers to draft players from is Notre Dame.
Oh
yeah. And actually, the most surprising of those is number three is Florida.
That is very surprising.
Yeah, so it goes USC, Notre Dame, Florida, Stanford, and then there's a few schools that, you know, have a lot. Alabama, I think Clemson, you know, the powerhouse schools. Michigan has a lot, and they have the next most right there. But, yeah, I was surprised. I thought Stanford would be number one, and especially higher than four.
Right, no doubt.
And what's weird is there's not a lot of Florida. I had a conversation with my guy Kruger on Twitter today about this. I can't remember any good Florida players, really. You know, some okay guys. Marcel Harris currently from Florida on the roster, but a lot of the Florida players weren't all that great.
Yeah, I'm thinking about
Reggie McGrew.
I cannot think of one.
Do you remember Reggie McGrew? Easy to forget because
he
didn't play.
Guy? Okay.
Yeah. Let's see.
Because I don't watch a lot of college football now, and I watched even less way back when. Mm-hmm. So that would have been a really tough one for me. No, I'll get my butt kicked in trivia because, like, I know a lot about 49ers and, you know, I remember my favorite guys. But, like, some of the ones you were throwing out there, I was like, oh, man, good pull by these guys. They definitely knew their stuff.
And it's funny because what's easy for one person is really hard for somebody else.
Sure.
Some of the questions I thought would be easier, nobody got. The Ray Wershing stuff, it's funny that Ray Wershing, and it just kind of accidentally happened that way, popped up twice. Yeah, and I will never forget Ray Wershing because of Tecmo Bowl, the original Tecmo Bowl. He was the kicker there, and of course he was the kicker for all the original Dynasty stuff.
And you know, real quick, also you said Christian Okoye was dominant in Tecmo Bowl. He was actually dominant in Tecmo Super Bowl.
Thank you for correcting me on that. That is a big distinction there. Tecmo Super Bowl
Those are two huge different games, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Tecmo Super Bowl is the greatest football game ever made.
It is. It's definitely top five easily.
I love
it might be number one.
They're a lot of fun, but, I mean, come on. Tecmo Super Bowl, you could actually swap guys in and out. You could put pretty much anyone you want at kick return or punt return.
You know,
you had Joe Montana and Steve Young on the 49ers.
It was the glory days of video games because it just started to get fun enough to where there was, you know, ratings and actual players. And you could play with real players. You could have Montana throw to Jerry Rice, and they had their attributes. And they could get hurt, and you can move guys in and out of the lineup. And I remember another one from that same era was Baseball Stars, which was the first game I ever saw that you could change ratings. And I would literally get the newspaper, look at the box score, and make sure George Brett had the right batting stance and the right batting average and stuff like that. And, you could make six teams. So I would make the Giants, and I would make the Dodgers because the rival had to be there. I would make, like, the A's and the Royals and the Yankees and whoever. And I would make six teams, and I'd try to make it as perfect as possible. And that says a lot about me. Even as a kid, I wasn't like trying to do the thing where you just run up money and make one powerhouse team and make it amazing. I was trying to make it as accurate as possible, literally looking at the box scores in the newspaper.
I love that, man. Old school Nintendo. That's where it's at.
Absolutely. Speaking of video games, we got to talk about these Madden 20 ratings, but we got to take a quick break first. This is a good time to tell the fellas out there about Blue Chew. Guys, do you remember when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. For instance, most guys talk a good game, but if you're one and done, Blue Chew can even help you follow through for round two. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. And they're made right in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code Locked On, just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BLUECHEW.com, BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On to try it free. Blue Chew is the cheaper, better, faster choice. BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On. We thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, Nick, have you had a chance to look at the latest Madden ratings?
I saw quite a few of them, and real quick before we get too deep into that, did you see George Kittle challenge Richard Sherman to a race today?
No.
Oh, yeah, I guess they had the same speed on Madden, and so it was like, you want a race?
If I'm Richard Sherman, I say hell no to that, because there's nothing that can be gained, and I would put all of my money on George Kittle.
Yeah, they had like Richard Sherman has like 99 awareness and then 90 speed, and Kittle had 90 speed, and then, oh man, it just made me laugh. It was fantastic.
That's hilarious. And even when they were young, I would still put third year George Kittle over third year Richard Sherman.
No
Kittle
doubt.
Had a better 40 time at the combine.
Yeah, no, I think I'd love to watch that race. You know,
wouldn't be close.
$1 million.
Kittle would destroy Richard Sherman just running in a straight line. Richard Sherman is not great because of his speed. He's great because he's got everything else. He's got
smarts. It's that 99 awareness, man.
It's the 99 awareness. He's got length. He's got ball skills. He knows what pattern recognition. He knows what the team is running before they do it. He runs the routes for the receivers. And the cover three is so perfect for him because he can play off if he needs to. And he can, you know, basically play like a deep safety on that third of the field. And so Richard Sherman, my advice to you, do not take that bet from George Kittle, because you can't be a corner and get outrun by... Dude, there's a lot of defensive backs, by the way, that would get outrun by George Kittle in the NFL.
You're right. He is very fast, especially like you said, in a straight line. And if it was like, if they were running 100 or something, like, oh yeah, I'll take Kittle, no doubt. But I mean, did you see all the speed in the 49ers backfield?
Oh, the running backs? Yeah, they've got a crazy fast backfield.
It was like three of the top six or something.
McKinnon is the slow guy in the backfield. He ran a 4.41 or something like that.
That's crazy.
Right. A bunch of 4.3 dudes, and they legitimately gave him the speed. But the speed rating is actually one of the most overrated ratings in Madden. It comes into play sometimes, but you know how they make the defenders like they have like sort of Superman speed? So a guy,
right.
You can have a player who's 95 speed, and there's a guy who's 85 speed, and somehow you can't run away from him.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Right. And so.
Well, that's because you used your speed burst too soon.
Yeah. Maybe you don't have your speed. They don't have speed burst anymore. It's the sprint trigger, right?
Yeah, so if you use that, you know, then you're going to start to slow down.
You run out of juice.
Yeah, you got to save that.
Speaking of Richard Sherman, actually, are you surprised that he was the highest rated 49er, 93 overall? It's that 99 awareness.
Yeah, a little bit. I would think that Kittle probably would have been, you know. But no, I mean, again, I watched Richard Sherman last year. And like you said, you know, it's a lot about that awareness and things like that. And those numbers really up his overall rating. And, you know, he really didn't have a lot of touchdowns thrown against him last year. A lot of big plays. Like, he kind of took away half of the field a lot of the time, and that's what you want to do as that cover corner.
No, that's a good point. And actually, I think the guy who has the biggest gripe is probably DeForest Buckner, not even in the 90s, not even one of the top three.
Dude, that's crazy.
49ers in rating. I mean, you can't really argue, you know, if you're going to put Joe Staley and you're going to put George Kittle and even Richard Sherman ahead of DeForest Buckner, that's one thing. But then having Buckner as an 87 with how good he is,
that's
I'm still
nonsense.
Just like... I think Buckner gets unfairly dinged, and it's not like he's scrutinized. Like, people don't think he's not good, but there's so many good defensive tackles in the NFL right now that it's like, okay, well, he's not in the Aaron Donald tier, so he must be, like, you know, down there a bit. And so he doesn't get the credit he deserves, I think, nationally yet. In another year like last year, which I'm sure he will put together, and the 49ers aren't going to be able to, other teams aren't going to be able to put as much attention on any one guy on the 49ers front now, like DeForest Buckner has had, and they can still move him around if they need to. I think he'll have still a big year, and everyone else will benefit as well. So that defensive front's going to be fun to watch, especially when you add in the tweak they're doing with the wide nine. Is it a tweak or is it a whole new system? I don't know. We're going to learn a lot about the 49ers front, and that's going to be a fun unit to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. You watch all these guys complaining about their rating and stuff like that, and it's like, dude, not everybody can be 95. You know, like, there has to be a bar, you know, where the top players are, and then everybody's below that. So if you're a 78, like, you're still really good, you know, but you can't be up there with everybody. There has to be some, you know, a little bit of a drop-off there when it comes to players. And real quick, before we move on too far, I know you're a big Ronald Blair guy. Did you see him boxing? Have you seen that video?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, man, I didn't see that. Fantastic. I love it. I mean, it just got me pumped up. Like, yeah, get in there. Start smacking around those O-linemen.
Yeah, he's got power. I like Ronald Blair, another underrated player. And I think when you're looking at Madden ratings, almost every single NFL player, like basically every NFL player thinks they're 99 and are legitimately right. surprised when they're not. Like a dude who's like a third string defensive back somewhere is like, what? I'm only a 71? I can't believe I'm a 71. It's like, dude, you've played like six snaps in your life.
Right.
How could you expect to be higher? But these guys have sort of a false sense of themselves, and their friends are probably like, oh, dude, you should be a 94.
Well, I mean, when you're a top-tier athlete, you know, you're like 1% of all athletes.
Right.
You know, you definitely, you believe the hype, and you kind of have to get to that level.
Dude, I can remember being with friends, hanging out in high school, and like messing around with Madden and putting ourselves in the game, and someone would make, like you would make each other's characters, right? Mm-hmm. And somebody would make me, and I'd be like, are you kidding me? You know, I would get hurt by ratings that were obviously, these are like professional football ratings. I'd be like, only an 85 speed? Are you crazy? Come on, I'm way faster than you. And you get in those arguments. I mean, imagine if you were actually really in the game having those arguments. I mean, that would be wild.
82 hands? What are you talking about? Let's go outside right now. I will catch everything you throw at me.
He's got a jugs machine in the backyard. Let's go.
You want to see strength? Come on, sit on my back. I'll do some push-ups.
The big one, though, is obviously Jimmy Garoppolo, 78.
Yeah, that was very surprising. I mean, you look at his career passer rating, it's up there, you know, but it's got a lot to do with just show it, you know, get out there. Give me some consistency.
I understand.
Stay healthy.
Yeah, I understand that you haven't quite proved it yet, and there's still some expectation, but I was on KNBR Monday night with Mark Willard, and he had a good point. It's not that it's a 78. It's that there's 20 quarterbacks that have a higher rating than Jimmy Garoppolo, and there's nowhere near 20 quarterbacks I would rather have than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
I understand like the top tier guys, you know, 10, maybe 12, but there's some dudes that just have, that don't belong. They just like, you would never want, you would never expect, like, even if Jimmy Garoppolo's unproven, I would take the unprovenness and what I think he would be well ahead of some of the other guys that were rated much higher.
Oh yeah. You're totally
because
right.
they've proven what they are, which is mediocre.
Right. And so why are you going to put our guy, who every time he's out there has succeeded, you know, you're going to put him below these guys that have basically shown like, I'm garbage.
The 49ers, little segue here. The 49ers have a weird roster. I think that's pretty clear. The way they've built this thing isn't the standard way that a lot of teams build their rosters. Kyle Juszczyk's an 85 in Madden. Robbie Gould is, where is Robbie Gould? He should be up there too. I don't see him right now on this list, but Robbie Gould, one of the best kickers in the NFL. I just don't think there's kickers on this list I'm looking at. Is that the way, ideally, you would... And actually, this is a good segue into the mailbag because Griff had a question here about the Robbie Gould signing. Paying kickers, paying fullbacks, paying centers, paying off-ball linebackers, big money. Do you think that right now it just doesn't matter? It's not even an issue because the 49ers have the cap space and it's like, look, just give me all your good players. Paying running backs, they've paid 2 years in a row, given quite a bit of money to running backs in free agency. And not a lot of teams are putting resources into those positions. Or is it a situation where it's like, okay, well, man, we could have turned, say, a fullback and a kicker and Jimmy Ward into Earl Thomas. And so are you missing out in that way that you could have been spending resources and getting a lot better at some more important positions and getting some better players rather than getting... you know, spending a fourth rounder on a 27-year-old punter. It's just the team building aspect of it. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's wrong. I just think it's interesting the way they've gone about it. And I kind of go back and forth thinking, well, they could have spent resources differently, but they're team-friendly contracts. And you just give me all the good players you can. If you can fit it under the cap, that's fine. If this was, say, the Eddie DeBartolo days, it's like, yeah, who cares? Because we can pay every position the most. It doesn't matter. But in the salary cap era, it changes things a little bit. How do you feel about the roster construction here and paying kickers and fullbacks top of the market money? And in Kyle Juszczyk's case, paying double what the second fullback makes.
I like it. I really do, because I feel like they go after these guys that aren't necessarily of value, but maybe are undervalued when it comes to actual game time. You know, because you look at Juszczyk and, you know, he's a solid blocker. He's an offensive weapon. People aren't, you know, covering him when he comes out on that wheel route. And we saw it a few times last year where it was big, big chunks of yardage, you know, when the 49ers needed it desperately, and then off-ball linebackers and centers and these things that you're mentioning that are a part of the team. You know, that the only time you really hear about these guys is when they really mess up. And that's what you want. You want guys that are going to be consistent for you, that are going to get out there, and they're really going to make you a better squad altogether. Earl Thomas, yeah, that would have been cool to have him. But let's not forget, the guy's coming off a major injury last year, and he's not young. You know, so I'd much rather put that money into three guys that don't necessarily stand out, you know, don't have the name recognition of an Earl Thomas or don't make that splash on Twitter, but will make you a better overall football team.
Give me all the good football players you can.
If
you're losing games that are within 3 points and you have a bad kicker, that can be huge. Field position can be huge with your punter.
Yeah, and you mentioned it too. When it comes down to these team-friendly contracts, DeForest Buckner is going to need to get paid, and the 49ers need to pay that man. So I love all these you know, team-friendly contracts that will give them the ability to sign him to a long-term contract or to sign – you know, these homegrown guys to these big long-term contracts when they come available. George Kittle, he's going to need to get paid in a couple of years. You know, Fred Warner, if he keeps this up, like, these are the kind of guys you want to keep around for a long time. And if you go out and you sign all these big-name free agents to these huge contracts with all this guaranteed money, you're just not going to be able to do that.
One more thing here real quick. I want to talk a little bit more and get to Griff's question specifically about Robbie Gould, but I was looking over these Madden numbers again. The wide receiver group is an interesting one, and I'm actually surprised that they gave the love to Dante Pettis, that he actually got to the 80 landmark, which is, you know, with what he didn't do a lot last year. And I think if you ask most people around the league, who's the better overall player, if you were to put a number value on this guy, I would be surprised if anybody said Dante Pettis is 2 points better than Jimmy Garoppolo, who's a 78. But Dante Pettis got the 80, but look at the rest of these guys. And this kind of goes along with what that wide receiver group is and the battle that's going to be going on there. Kendrick Bourne, 75. Jordan Matthews, 75. Trent Taylor, 74. And these guys are all just right in the same zone. Who's gonna come up and win that job? And so it just goes along with what that wide receiver position and that camp battle is going to be so fun to watch. And on the flip side of that, kind of surprised, I think, Dante Pettis. I was surprised they gave him the 80. I was surprised they gave Matt Breida, as good as he did last year, he was averaging 7 yards per carry at one point in the season. Mm-hmm. They gave him an 82, which is a nice number for Matt Breida. Coleman, 83, and Jerick McKinnon, 82. So the 49ers have four running backs, including Kyle Juszczyk at 85, that are all 82 or above.
Yeah, I think Madden's just kind of hedging their bets on a lot of those. They're like, well, we don't really know.
I know whoever's in there is going to do well with Kyle Shanahan, so let's give them all a high number, and you have fun.
And then, well, and that's what's really cool about Madden, too, is they adjust throughout the year. You know, like they'd almost do it daily or weekly, you know, where it's like, oh, here's the new update. Okay, all the numbers have changed on all these guys.
And there's a 100% chance in my mind that if Jimmy Garoppolo is healthy throughout the season, he'll be in the 80s by the end of the season with that living roster.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Jason Verrett is an 82, which I think is a good grade for his talent level, but this is one of those things where if you're a Madden player, you're like, oh, sweet, I got an 82 cornerback. He's going to start 16 games for me outside. And in reality, I just don't think that Verrett's going to be on the field that much. And, you know, your Madden team is better than your real team in that regard, I think. And Les Witherspoon, who's only got a 70 overall rating, you know, so that's a big drop. Everyone's going to be starting Verrett. Witherspoon's
going to be... K'Wan Williams on there?
Let's see. K'Wan Williams, 73, which I think is... I think it's a little actually unfair because he's really good. It's just he's a niche guy. He's a slot corner, so probably doesn't get that love. And I think slot receivers, slot corners probably get a little bit of a bad grade in Madden just because they're not, you know, quote-unquote starters. They're not, even if they're, you know, just the way Madden is. It's still they still have a tough time mimicking real life with depth charts and how those things work. But Witherspoon's a 70 overall. He's going to have more snaps than 82 overall Jason Verrett, even if things go well for Verrett this year, just because he's going to be on a snap count, I got to imagine, with all those injuries.
At least early on, no doubt about it.
Right. Okay, word from our sponsors, and then I want to talk mailbag. Okay, I mentioned Griff's question earlier on, and I want to get to that, and I think it was an interesting question, and Robbie Gould had all the leverage, which I like. Like, it must be nice to be in that situation for him where he's like, look, I don't have to sign anything. At worst, I'm going to make my $5 million this year, and then next year I'll sign wherever I want. So he could literally put his flag in the ground and be like, give me this deal or whatever. I'll be a problem for another few weeks. I'll come into camp. I'll kick. I'll get my money this year. And then next year I'll be gone.
Sign with Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah. And so... It's funny because the way Griff says it, he's like, was Robbie Gould pretending to be homesick? And I don't know if it was, he's like, okay, let's play hardball because you slapped the franchise tag on me. And I don't care if you're a kicker or whatever. Every NFL player hates the franchise tag. You slap it on the guy, he's mad and he wants to hold out, and which is understandable. And they got to probably clean that up in the CBA next time. But Robbie Gould can sit there and say, hey, I don't, you know, I don't have to do anything. So meet this or I'll just do my thing, you know, and I'll walk and I'll be in Chicago next year and you got to find a kicker.
I don't think he pretended to be homesick.
I don't think he had to pretend at all because he was just in that situation.
Sure. And as a parent, you know, as someone who loves my kids, like, I can't imagine having to be away from them as much as these professional athletes do. You know, so if you can, you know, put it out there and possibly get a job closer to home, why would you not try that? You know, especially as somebody who actually loves their kids. You know, not everybody does. You know, there's those people out there that, you know, don't have that connection. But it sounds like Robbie Gould does. And, and he likes family, his family, man. And he wants to be around them.
Yeah, I can respect that. But now he can have an apartment. He can have a $5 mil a year. It's expensive in the Bay Area, I know. He can have an apartment in Chicago, and he can have an apartment in Santa Clara, and his family be all good. And I think I think that's a good move for his family, even if they're not living 100% of the time. Because, like, look, he's going to be on the road a lot anyway. So during the season, 6 months out of the year, he's at practice every day. He's on the road. They're not going to see that much of their families. But, I mean, come on.
Yeah. No, I'm with you 100%.
Solomon asks, out of the 2000s teams, who are you taking in a Space Jam situation out of all NFL teams and then exclusively 49ers? So if there was an NFL football version of Space Jam, basically you're trying to put together a weird cartoonish Space Jam football team.
Right.
Any players jump to mind for you, Nick?
First person that jumped out to me, you know, in the 2000s, I mean, it's probably Randy Moss, right?
Yeah, Randy Moss would absolutely be out there. Who would be the Jordan?
Oh,
Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. I guess Tom Brady.
Yeah, no, maybe Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning.
I mean, he just put up numbers every year.
And he's just, I think, just if you wanted someone to act, I would, you know, his Saturday Night Live appearance was pretty good. Right, yeah. So probably go Peyton Manning over Brady for that role for sure, if we're talking 2000s and if we're extending it into now even. I love the cartoon because was it Sean Bradley? Was he the one that was originally in the original Space Jam? He was like the tall goon, right?
Yes, Sean Bradley.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a name from the past. And big tall white dude. Yeah.
And
7-footer, right?
Muggsy Bogues, right?
Uh-huh.
So I love that. And I love Barkley that about football teams. Like, I want my wide receiver. I love Trent Taylor. I love the 5'7 wide receiver, but I want the 6'5 wide receiver too, you know? I love having a 350-pound immovable object, Casey Hampton nose tackle, you know? But then I want speed. You know, it's like I like guys that have this. You are the most blank in the league. I love that, the cartoonish style of players and stuff. So that's an interesting question. I think I would have to think on that more about putting together an entire Space Jam lineup. But Peyton Manning would be the star of the show, I think, if you're talking 2000s players.
Yeah, I mean, I think Randy Moss, too, you know?
Yeah. No, he'd be a good one. Yeah, absolutely. He would definitely be a good one there. Michael Vick?
Oh, yeah.
But you can't have two quarterbacks.
That's true. I mean, you drafted two in our thing, so I guess you'd like to break that rule.
That was being offensively defensive.
Ah, smart.
That was just me dominating from start to finish.
What about on defense there in the teeth? Ray Lewis, probably?
Oh, yeah. Ray Lewis is a good one. I feel like we're missing somebody who was a really brash player that would have.
Somebody's going to come out and Keyshawn, throw me the damn ball. Warren Sapp on the defensive line.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Warren Sapp. Although he wouldn't, I couldn't put Warren Sapp in my movie because he tore Jerry Rice's ACL.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So he was dead to me. Defensive backs, who are we missing? It's got to be, I mean,
Charles
Dion.
Woodson?
Dion was still going, right? Early 2000s.
Yeah.
Yeah, Charles Woodson. Yeah, Charles Woodson's a good one.
About edge rushers, anybody out there?
Strahan, the cartoonish gap teeth.
Yeah, that's a good call. What about running back? I don't think we've even mentioned a running back.
Oh, we haven't. LT.
Oh, yeah, LT, no doubt. Trying to think back to my early fantasy football days. Guy, who dominated back then?
Who was your best ever early days fantasy football or fantasy baseball player? I remember a rookie, Carlos Beltran. I was on him early.
Nice.
Because
Danny Tomlinson.
I was always been into the draft, always been into the prospects on the baseball side. And so that was like my big pull, and I killed all my friends that year and pulled out Carlos Beltran, and they're like, who the hell's Carlos Beltran? And then he went on to be this amazing player. And, you know, I was just like reading Baseball Prospectus or whatever it was, Baseball America. I was like, oh, who's this guy? Let's draft him.
I mean, just recently it's Francisco Lindor. I got him before he even came up.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had him a keeper for a few years now.
In our baseball league, Mike Trout was huge for me for a while. And I actually, he was like my fallback option because people bid too high in our auction league on Harper. And I was like, this Mike Trout guy's pretty good. I'll get him for $1. And I was like, okay, that's a much better deal. Okay, I'll stick with that one.
Trout.
Sorry, Lewis. I know Lewis is listening. He loves to listen.
He got ripped a little bit, didn't he? Oh, coming he on deserved a 49er it. Podcast.
Dude, yeah. That's the only reason he made an appearance on this show was to get torn apart.
He wanted to play the villain a little bit.
Yeah, come on. You can't have Trout. Cowboys fan? We don't trade Trouts to Cowboys fans.
Seriously.
All right. We're running out of time here, Nick. Let's just go ahead and put a period on this one.
Yeah, sounds good, buddy.
And by the way, people, you don't have to tweet me the most disgusting food on the planet. Like,
no, Brett. You do, especially with hot dogs.
Brett, I don't even know what you call this. Hot dog jello salad is what he calls it here. It's basically a wall of hot dogs around the edge. It's jello in the middle, this gelatinous goo in the middle with like olives and celery.
Eat that hot dog pie over that thing.
So disgusting. I can't even look at it, let alone like.
Yeah. Hey, we're talking about great pulls. Great pull.
Great pull, Brett. You got blocked on Twitter. I never want to hear anything from you ever again. No. All right. Yep. Nick, thank you so much for joining the show once again.
My pleasure, buddy.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be back tomorrow right here on Locked On 49ers.
See you.